Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to the third episode of our book, Dead Man Walking, which is a book about grieving, basically. I do want to apologize for episode 2, which had technical voice problems. I'm really sorry. I will probably do another part 2, a repeat of the part 2, so that you can hear the read from there. I've been away for a while. But I'm back now, and I'm going to get on with reading books and poetries, and eventually we're going to have podcasts and discussions. And in the last episode 2, we stopped at chapter 9, and so we're going to continue from chapter 10, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I went out to the hall. It was still packed. The same people were standing in the same places, leaning against the same bit of wall, and the same old woman was blocking the way. "Is that Pardoon?" she said. "How are you, Mrs. Webb? You remember me?" "Oh, I do. It's not so bad," she said. "Yes, you get used to it," she said. "So you said." "We'll meet again," she said. "Yes, I know," I said. And again, I got past her. Young Sam was still standing at the front door in his too big shirt. I waved, but he didn't wave back. The good room was on my right. That door was open. There was nobody going or coming. I would be alone in there with Joe, with the body. I was tempted to keep on walking. I would open the front door and walk out. Down the path, I'd walk all the way home. Maybe I'd pop into a pub on the way. No. I had to see Joe. I had to pay my respects. I stepped up to the door. I stepped in. The room was empty, except for the coffin and Joe. I gasped. I nearly screamed. "Joe! How's it going?" said Joe. He was in a coffin, but he was sitting up in it. He didn't look too bad for a dead man. He probably looked better than I did. "Joe?" I said again. "That's me," he said. He sounded exactly like Joe. I mean, it was his voice. But he was supposed to be dead. That was why I was there. "You're not dead," I said. "You look a bit let down," said Joe. But he smiled. "I'm not," I said. "It's just unusual," said Joe. "Yes," I said, "kind of. It was more than unusual. It's a bit strange," I said. "There was a dead man talking to me. It was very bloody strange. But there was another strange thing. When Joe smiled, it hit me that he looked no older. He looked the way he had the last time we spoke, the day we had the fight. I was older. And I looked older. I knew that Sarah told me every day, and I saw it in the mirror when I shaved. I was getting older all the time, but Joe wasn't. "You look great," I told him. He wore a dark blue suit and a black tie. If he had been looking for work, I would have given him a job. "It's gas," he said, "isn't it?" "What do you mean?" I asked him. "Well, here I am," he said. He tapped the side of the coffin. He looked a bit daft in it, like it was a little sailboat with no sail or pram. "I'll get out the stretch of my legs," he said. He laughed, and so did I. I was starting to enjoy the news. Joe wasn't dead. I watched him climb out of the coffin. He kind of slid out, legs first over the side. It was a bit like he was doing the high jumps. But he was doing the high jump in a suit and a tie. He didn't even grunt. He was standing right in front of me now. It was great, but I still needed answers. "What's the story?" I said. "What do you mean?" he asked. "Oh, come on, Joe," I said. "Your funeral is tomorrow. Your death was in the paper." "Oh," said Joe, "that, yes," I said, "that. Well, said Joe, have you any idea how much funerals cost? They're expensive, are they? Ah, man, he said, you have no idea. They cost a fortune. I thought so, I said. I remember my dad's funeral cost a good bit. It leaves a big hole in your pocket, said Joe. I'd say so, I said. Oh, yeah, said Joe. In fact, it leaves a big hole in my pocket. Joe's face looked a bit plastic. There was a shine off it and it didn't seem right. So he said, I said to myself, why, wait, sorry, Joe, I said, I'm a bit lost. What do you mean? Why, wait till I was dead, said Joe. Hang on, I said. I stepped back. I didn't mean to. I could not help it. His face looked so pale and glossy, and what he was saying was so mad. What's wrong? He asked. Nothing, I said. Just what? Are you having a funeral before you die? I asked him. Is that what you're telling me? Exactly, said Joe. He tapped the side of the coffin again. I paid for this thing, he said, so I might as well enjoy it. I began to relax again. What Joe was saying did make sense a bit. Good coffins cost a lot of money. His face looked normal again. His skin looked like skin, not plastic. Do you want to give it a go? He asked. What? The coffin, he said. What? I said. Do you want me to get into it? Only if you want to. What's it like? I asked. Not too bad, said Joe. A bit tight. I went nearer to the coffin and looked in. It is padded, I asked. Is it padded? I asked. Joe sat beside me. And he stood beside me. Only a bit, he said. You would not want to spend too long in there. But I know, he said, I know, but I'll be dead. But you're not dead now, I said. He didn't answer. Are you? I asked him. He still didn't answer. Joe, I said, are you dead? He looked at me. He smiled. Well, yes, he said, I am. He looked at the door. Hang on, he said. There's someone coming. He put his hands on the coffin, lifted himself and slid in. He moved like a kid. Easy and quick, he lay on his back. He winked at me and then closed his eyes. Chapter 11. I thought I'd die. Joe was dead. That was mad. I know that was why I was there in his house, because Joe was dead. But then he wasn't dead. And then he was dead again. He was in a coffin and he looked very dead. But for a while, I had only really thought he was alive. But this was a thought that made my legs start to wobble. He was dead, but he was alive. He was alive and dead. My best friend was a zombie or something. I wasn't sure what a zombie was or how you became a zombie. Was there an exam or test? All I knew was Joe was dead and Joe was alive. Someone had walked into the room. I didn't look. Doesn't he look super? Said someone. It was a woman. I looked behind me. It was a woman from the kitchen. Her glasses still sat on top of her hair like an extra pair of ears. Her eyes were still blue and lovely. She smiled. Pardon, she said. It took me a while to answer. I was still in shock. I wasn't sure I was Pardon. But then it came back to me. I knew who I was. There was a good-looking woman beside me and wanted to impress her. Yes, I said, I'm Pardon. So far, so good. I sucked my belly and I thought I heard Joe laugh. I looked, but his eyes were shut. You haven't changed, she said. I heard the laugh again, but she had not heard it. I could tell that from her face. You don't know me, she said, do you? I looked at her carefully and enjoyed myself. No, I said, I give up. No, hang on, she laughed. Sandra, she said. You are Sandra Nolan, I said. Well done, she said. God, I said. What? I didn't know what to say. When me and Joe were kids, when we were teenagers, we had loved Sandra Nolan. We hung around outside her house. We sat on her wall. We waited outside her school. When you know, we would have in our school. I fancied her so much. I lay awake all night thinking of her. I looked at her now and I remembered I'd asked her up to the dance years ago, 30 years ago, at a dance in Barrytown United Clubhouse. 12. Joe pushed me. "Go on," he said. "No," I said. "She'll say no." We're looking across at Sandra Nolan. She was dancing with her friends. They were in a circle. Their handbags and coats were in a pile on the floor and they were dancing around the bags. The hall was hot and steam was as thick as juice. There was a smell of brute and football socks. "Go on," said Joe. "A little bird told me she'll say yes if you asked her." "Really?" I said. "Who?" "Ah, now," said Joe. "I have my spies. Just ask her and she'll say yes." "My spy? Who?" "Shut up," said Joe. "Just trust me. Ask her." The DJ was an eejit called Paddy O'Hara, who called himself the Night Wolf. And that was Black Sabbath. And said Paddy, the Night Wolf, "But now we'll show things down. We'll slow things down. Here's Lionel Richie. Hello." "Now is your chance," said Joe. "Go on." "I hate this song," I said. "Never mind the song," said Joe. "Think of the bird." He pushed me again in the back. I slid over the sweat and Fanta and walked the rest of the way to Sandra Nolan. Her back was to me, her lovely back with her lovely hair. I stopped. I waited. I heard Joe's voice. "Go on." I tapped her shoulder. She turned. I was blushing. I felt the heat on my face. Tried to smile. "Do you want to dance?" I asked. "No," she said. "Get lost." 13. Sandra was looking down at Joe. She lifted her hand and wiped her eye. "He was my first ride," she said. "What?" I wasn't sure I heard her properly. I hoped I hadn't heard her properly. "My first ride," she said. She nodded at Joe in the coffin. "That man there." She looked at me now. Did she expect me to say something? "It's sad," she said, "isn't it?" Now I could speak. "Yes," I said. She turned away from the coffin. I looked and Joe was smiling up at me. "When did that happen?" I asked her. I was still looking at Joe. "Years ago," she said, "behind the Barrytown United Clubhouse." "At the dance?" "Yes," she said. "Do you remember that dance?" "I do," I said. "Yes." Joe was still smiling. I wanted to kill him, but he was dead already, or half dead or something. She turned and looked in at Joe. His eyes were shut, but I hadn't seen him close them. She looked around to see if anyone was coming into the room, but it was just us, me, her, and Joe. "It's a bit creepy," she said. "You know, my first lover is dead." She shivered. She made herself shiver. Her glasses slid off her head, past her nose. She caught them and put them back up on her head. "It must be strange," I said. "A bit," she said, "but mostly just sad." I was afraid of the answer I would get. I was afraid of the answer I was going to get. But I had to ask the question. "Was he any good?" "No," she said. "God love him. He was done in 5 seconds. Joe's eyes popped open, then closed. I didn't know what the fuss was all about for years, she said. "Yes," I said, "I know what you mean." I had no idea why I said that. Did she think now that I had sex with Joe as well? I had to say something else quick. "Do you know it will rain?" I asked. "No, I didn't. I'm not that bad." Anyway, There is no point in asking that question in Ireland. The answer is always yes. I asked you up for the dance once, I said. Do you remember? No, she said. Did you really? Yeah, I said, but you said no. She put her hand on her head and slid her reading glasses down to her nose. She looked over at me again, over the glasses. No, she said, I didn't. She put the glasses back up on her head. Ah, well, she said. I felt like she had seen right through my clothes and right through my skin and flesh into the hollow place where my heart used to be. Before it fell down through my body onto the floor, I felt empty and old and fat. But do you know what? I didn't really care. It was kind of nice. I was miserable, but kind of happy too. I smiled at her. She smiled back. I have to go, she said. My book club is on tonight. She looked in at Joe one more time. His eyes were closed. He was looking very dead. Bye, Joe, she whispered. What's the book? I asked her. What? The book club, I said. What book did you read? I didn't, she said. I never read the book. I just go for the crack, a few drinks, and a laugh. She stepped back from the coffin. Anyway, she said. Bye, Pat. She leaned up and kissed me on the cheek. Did her tongue kind of lick my cheek? I wasn't sure, but I wanted to lick hers. You went to St. Joseph's School, said Sandra. You played for Barrytown United. You wore a blue shirt that looked great. With a little bit of chest hair sticking out, you used to hang out outside the shops. You blew smoke rings when we passed by. They were always perfect. They always looked like they were going to come down over our heads. She was looking right at me. Your hair dropped over your eyes, she said. I always wanted to push it back up. I wanted to put my fingers through your hair. She lifted her hand. She was going to put her fingers on my head. She stopped. Her hand dropped. She smiled. Take care of yourself, she said. I watched her walk out of the room. Her heels clicked across the floor. My wife and son were in the house. My best friend was in a coffin beside me. But still, I nearly called after her. Do you want to go for a drink? I nearly did, but I didn't. Then I did. Do you want to go for a drink? I said, sometime. She stopped at the door and looked at me again. She stared at me for 3 long seconds. I don't think that would be wise, she said. Do you? She lifted her hand and showed me her wedding ring. No, I said. I don't think it would be wise. I was loving this. It was a new me. It was the old me. It was Pat June, the sex machine. Even my voice sounded different. It was deeper. But I said, but do we always have to be wise, Donna? My name is Sandra, she said. The old me would have given up, but I was Pat, the sex machine. I took my phone out of my pocket. What's your number? I said. I'll phone you in a few days. She looked at me, then started speaking. 0876233. It was amazing. Sandra Nolan gave me her phone number. No, she didn't. I didn't even ask her. I wanted to, really, really wanted to. She was gone. I heard the front door open and close. Joe was sitting up in the coffin. Why didn't you ask her? He said. Oh, look, I said. It's 5 seconds, Joe. Back from the dead. Are you able to read my thoughts as well? Why didn't you ask her? He said again. Can you read my thoughts? I asked him again. No, I can't, he said. But I know that I wanted to ask her. Why didn't you ask? Why didn't you? I asked. He patted the coffin. I'm busy, he said. I already have a gig. You only lasted 5 seconds, I said. That was 5 more than you, he said. Anyway, it was 7 seconds. At least she is still fine. She's still a fine thing, isn't she? Sandra? Sandra? Yes. Oh, yes, she is. Oh, she is. Do the dead think about sex? I asked him. That never stops, said Joe. So why didn't you ask her to go for a drink?
I don't know, I said. I wanted to. I had not spoken like this in years. To anybody, even myself, there was something about being with Joe, alive or dead, alive and dead. I felt like I was a little bit my dead self and free.
It's not too late, he said.
It is, I said. She's gone.
She's a woman, said Joe. It will take her ages to go.
I heard the front door. I told him, how do you know that that was her? He said. I ran out to the hall. I didn't run, and I walked very fast.
14.
The hall was still the same people, in the same places. The front door was still shut. Young Sam still stood beside it. Mrs. Webb blocked my way.
Is that Pat June? She said.
I said nothing. I looked around. They looked back at me, waiting.
Is that Pat June?
How are you, Mrs. Webb?
You remember me? Yeah.
It's not so bad, she said. I know. You get used to it. That's right. We'll meet again. She said, we will. I had not seen her move or shift, but I was able to get past her. I went the rest of the way to the kitchen door. I stopped and looked back. No one had moved. They were talking. But I could hear no wounds, no words. I wanted to go back to Joe. I felt better with him. I felt more safe. But I walked into the kitchen. It was silly. Silly packed in there and hot. A tall fat guy got out of my way and I saw Karen. There was no sign of Sandra Nolan or Sarah, my wife. Karen saw me. I kept walking towards her. He looks great, I said. She stared at me. I wish Sarah was with me now. She was better at this kind of thing. Karen took both of my hands in hers. And Pat, she said, I'm glad you came.
You said that already,
I said, and I stopped. She was upset. I saw that now. She was putting on a brave face, but was in a bad way. She did not remember that we had already met. I wish I had done this sooner, I said. Ah, well, she said. Joe said the same thing.
Yes, I said. We were stupid. We hugged. I kissed the side of her face, a bit closer to her mouth, and this time I felt my lips there.
Then I saw Gavin looking at me. He was still standing beside the fridge with his can and his girl.
I'll go in and see Joe, I told Karen.
I turned and Sarah was right behind me and nearly walked into her.
Sarah, I said, all right.
She asked, I was just talking to Sandra. I said, who?
I mean, Karen, I was just talking to Karen.
So I see, said Sarah. She kissed me on the cheek. I saw now Sandra Nolan was standing there.
Do you know Sandra?
Sarah asked me.
What was going on?
No, I said. Sandra used to live around here. And Sandra put her hand out. Nice to meet you.
Is it Pat? She said.
That's right, said Sarah.
Pat.
I'm going to see Joe, I told Sarah. I legged it into the hall.
Is that Pat June?
How are you, Miss Webb? You remember me?
Yes.
It's not so bad.
Spot on.
You get used to it.
Yep, yep.
We'll meet again.
Yep.
15. I slid into the front room. Joe was climbing back into the coffin.
Give me a hand here, he said.
He did not look so dead now. He looked like a middle-aged man trying to climb up onto a wall. But before I got to him, he lifted himself and slid in. His face was down in the coffin. He grunted and turned. He looked up at me.
How did it go?
He asked. Was she there?
Sandra Nolan?
Yes, he said. Sandra Nolan. She was there, I said. But it was strange.
Was Karen there?
Your wife? I left my face burned.
Yes, said Joe.
My wife, she was with Sarah. I said, he looked at me. Then he grunted and sat up in the coffin. What's gone wrong with you? He asked. What do you mean? I said, I don't understand. Do you not even remember? Remember what? You said. You, he said, you need to be God's gift to women. Was I? Yes, he said. God, man, is your memory gone? It must be. I said, think, for God's sake, think. It was like the word think opened up my head. I began to remember. And we have come to the end of episode 3 of Dead Man Walking. Episode 4, we will continue from chapter 16 to find out exactly what is going on in the minds of these two friends, the dead one and the one that is alive. I mean, it seems pretty much interesting. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, please share, please leave a comment. And I will get back to you on your comments and let me know what you would like me to fix and what you would like to hear or what other books you would like to read. Thank you so much for joining us on Create Voices. This is me signing out. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much and see you next time. Bye.